Being recorded.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Odessa call on the 22nd of December 2011. On the call today, we have Takayasu Matsura, Don Blumenthal, Greg Aaron, Lafitte Damack, Sarah Longdon Orr, Mike O'Connor, Scott Argyle, Scott McCormick, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jim Galvin, and Forrest Rosen. From staff, we have Patrick Jones, Julie Headland, Bart Boswinkle, and myself, Naki Peregrin. And we have apologies from Rick Wilhelm and Luis Espinoza. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie. As always, working complex. I think we've got about every bell and every whistle in Adobe Connect in action today. And Natalie pulls it off every week. It's fabulous. I'd like to welcome you all to the December 22nd DSSA meeting and holiday party. And note that we've actually got the highest attendance we've had in a month, I think. So it's great to have you all here. The first thing is to just take a moment and ask if people have an update to their statement of interest. And Scott is a new member, and I'll kind of take a small detour and clue Scott in about this. In the ICANN world, we have a requirement that we all sort of tell what our involvement in these working groups is. And if Natalie and or Gisela or Glenn or somebody hasn't already clued you in about that, why don't you ping me after the meeting and I will fill you in on all that, because it may sound a little mysterious, but you're off the hook this week, and we'll pick this up later. But anyway, anybody else got any changes to their statement of interest? Okay. Next order of business is I'd like to just briefly introduce Scott Algier and give him a chance to introduce himself, actually. Scott came to us through an introduction by Patrick Jones, and Scott and Patrick and I visited right after the call last week. And then the leadership group visited about this on Monday, and we are welcoming Scott with open arms. Scott will tell you a bit about his background, but the thing that really intrigues me about Scott is that in addition to knowing an awful lot about security, he's also been through a security assessment for the DNS before, and heaven forbid that we would actually have knowledge in the process to help us out. So I'm pretty darn delighted to have Scott join us. Scott, do you want to just take a minute and tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. So thank you. So I'm the executive director of an organization called the Information Technology Information Sharing and Analysis Center. And what we do is we provide a forum for companies to share information about threat and vulnerabilities that they're seeing on their networks, as well as kind of protocol issues that might be impacting multiple vendors. Where I think in August 2009, I was the private sector chair of a group that released the what we call then the IT sector baseline risk assessment. And this was a two-year effort to identify threats to the IT infrastructure itself as opposed to looking at corporate networks. And we were trying to take this at a U.S. Level, which is obviously hard to do since it's a global environment. So what we did is we identified specific critical functions that the IT sector provided, and one of them was the DNS, was providing DNS services. So it was through that, I guess, two-year effort that we developed a methodology to develop ways to assess risks to each of these functions. We ended up using attack trees, and the results of the work are public, and I'm happy to share them, share the link with whoever is appropriate to share the link with. so we can look at the methodology, so people have an understanding of what the methodology was. And my expertise is not in DNS itself. I mean, I'm at best a very very high level generalist, but I think really what I hope to do is listen in and help contribute on the methodology if I can. So I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to talking with you all.
Thanks, Scott. As you'll see in the chat, Jim is ahead of you in terms of posting the link to the report. I should have done that to the list. I didn't even think about it. One of the things that we do in these is we post these chat sessions to our list. So anything that goes into the chat is pushed off to the worldwide internet unless somebody screeches and says, no, don't post that. But there's a link to the report, and it's quite a fabulous piece of work. I've had a chance to skim it. I'm planning to steal bits of it as we go. And it's great to have you here, Scott.
Well, thank you. And I just want to, before you go, I just want to acknowledge that the work that we did was a joint effort with industry and government. We had, in total, I think about 70 subject matter experts from industry and U.S. government participate. And to give credit where credit is due, Patrick Beggs from the Department of Homeland Security, he was my co-chair on this effort.
Oh, fabulous.
So thank you.
Okay, on to the main event of the day, which is continue chipping away at our analysis using the NIST methodology. On reflection, you all were pretty kind to me in terms of how that last call went, but I decided that it didn't go very well. And one of the things that I realized is that going through those spreadsheets wasn't nearly flexible enough for what we ran into. And so I'm reverting back to the mind mapping approach with the thought that we'll collect the same kind of information, but we'll collect it in a way that's a lot easier to sort of improvise as we go. And then we'll collapse it back into those sturdy tables, which are much easier for people to understand in a final report. And so what you see on the screen right now is my first try at a modified version of what we were doing last week. The big criticism, I think, of the process we used last week is that we were only looking at threat sources. We weren't looking at threat event pairs. And as a result, we got pretty wrapped around the axle on evaluating this stuff. And so what I'd like to try today, and this is in the continuing tradition of incremental improvement until we get it right, is we'll do these in pairs rather than one at a time, and see if this works better. And so the way we'll do this is we'll take a threat source. I think we'll stick with our old favorite configuration errors. And we'll match a series of threat events with the threat sources, and then we'll do our little evaluation of the three dimensions. You'll note there's a new dimension that came in during the leadership call that we're going to evaluate. And we'll see how this goes. I'm hopeful that this will be easier for us. It may not be easier in the less work, but I think it will be easier in terms of being able to arrive at agreement. So let me show you a real example. Here's our threat source, a configuration error by a privileged user. And I've just started a list of threat events based on the call that we had last week. And then what we've got behind each one of these is two of those three, because Bart came up with this one. Let me just add this to... Well, now what we've got is our three little dimensions, where in the case of a configuration error in a major zone file, com, net, UK, DE, so on, what's the range of impact? And what I'm hoping to do is capture the difference between a major zone file, let's say, lesser zone file. I'm going to cut in and out for a minute because my phone is ringing, but I'll be back. So before we dive in, does this make sense to people, or shall I go ahead and just do some of it, and then we'll try and make sense out of it then? Maybe that's the thing to do. So we have our on your screen, we have our traditional poll. I've also thinned out the poll a little bit. I think we got into a little bit of trouble because we had too granular a set of choices. We had 1 through 10. And I've thinned it back out based on the layers in the NIST methodology. And you can see those layers down in the lower left corner of the screen. And so when you're saying 10, what you're really saying is a sweeping impact involving almost all of the DNS. That's the translation. So I think what I'd like to do is just try this today, because I'm learning too, and if it works well, then this is what we'll be doing for the next probably quite a few meetings, because we have a lot of these to get through, and if it doesn't, I'll learn some more. So you can see the poll, and this is the one we're working on. And so I'd like people to just go ahead and use the poll, which some of you have used and some haven't, but if you click on one of those numbers, it will anonymously put your opinion up there on the screen, and we'll just sort of see sort of what kind of results we get if we do it this way. So go ahead and answer the question, what's the range of impact of a configuration error of a major zone file? And we're getting our first votes coming.
Okay.
Getting pretty good consensus around 8. A really good consensus. One person who feels it's even stronger than that. Now, what I'm going to do in this version of the process is we're not going to try and actually get to consensus on this. What we'll do is we'll get that first round of votes up like we've got now. We'll have a conversation about why people feel the way they do. We'll let people modify their votes a little bit. And if we come to consensus, great. If we don't, I'll just record it because... that was another thing I think I did wrong on the last call, was to try to drive too hard to get to absolute consensus. The TLD servers would be... no, they would not be the root servers. That's another one that's coming for us. That's a very good question. But this is the TLD server rather than the root zone itself. Yeah, zone servers, as Olivier is saying. That's a good clarification, though. So this would be if somebody misconfigured .com and .com went away. What would the impact of that be? And
which is why, Cheryl here, for the record, which is why I'm hitting in the 8, because, you know, CCs would still be all the limited.
Right. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh, my goddamn server stuff is going away. Sorry about blanking your screen like that.
Well, you were having a winter solstice moment, I thought.
Yeah, it was. I should just make the habit of shutting down all the other applications on my laptop before I do this, because they always choose our meetings to misbehave. Okay, so what I'm hearing, and here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to document this way. I'm going to say that there was one vote for the very topmost and seven for the next. Pardon me?
You've got a one-on-one. It needs to be zero.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Now I'm going to skip the who is impacted for a minute. And I'm going to go to the likelihood, although in the NIST methodology they call it relevance to the organization. I don't really know why, but I'm going to stick with it for a while. And this scale is, have we seen it? Has somebody else seen it? Has somebody reported it? Is it predicted? Etc. And so I'm going to clear the little poll and let you cogitate about that for a minute. And we'll use the same. The nice thing about you have to ignore. I think I'm going to just. Don't know if I've got. Another
so, Mikey, this is Jim.
Go ahead.
Galvin.
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm not sure I understand the question that we're voting on in this case, that under this relevance to the organization.
So, the methodology has sort of two dimensions to this, which says, you know, what do we think the impact is? That's what we just did. And then the other thing that the methodology asks is, how likely do we think this is going to happen, is going to be? Go ahead, Cheryl.
I was just going to say, it's a likelihood question. We knew we were going to have to tweak the nomenclature in some of these branches to suit the global impact, which we're looking at, because this is designed for subsects normally.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's really, I think, designed for primarily an organization level thing.
So could I know it's annoying. Well, I'm allowed to be because it's me.
Yeah, that's right.
My job, isn't it? That and stop you mumbling. Could we sort of make some little side notes somewhere? Don't know how and where and whatever. I know, stick it in another colour. But something like relevance to the organisation. That's one that needs a post think about edit. Make it puce or something, so we come back to those words, because we're going to have exactly the same issue as having to explain ourselves all the time. Otherwise,
I'll put it in here and I'll give it. You know, the only problem is I'm a guy, and I don't know what the word puce means, so I'll put.
You pick any yucky color that works for you. In the sort of purpley apricot zone, and that'll be fine.
Okay, I get that. Okay, let's see if I can make this light enough that I can actually read it. There we go. So, what if we just changed this to likelihood?
Oh, that's even better.
If I could spell it. I'm not terribly smitten with the notion of relevance to the organization.
Neither am I.
So, and then the other thing that I'm not terribly smitten with is whether this scale is worded right.
Cheryl, again, for the record, the confirmed, et cetera, et cetera. We're crystal ball gazing, and they're trying to scale it to a known set of values and a possible set of values.
Yeah, and you know, I think that this scale might work. I mean, if we said
If we just, sorry, Mikey, if we just remove from the, out of those, you know, the scaling, the by the organization, and
oh, just take that clause off of each one.
Yeah, just take the clause off, and I think some of us could maybe feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
I can live with that.
I can live with that. Anybody else got howls of protest as I chop these off? A good chance to just leap in while I'm not looking at the Adobe room.
If only you'd share the editability, dear, we could all have fun now.
Okay, let's see. So what if we do it like that, and then we'll take our little action item away, and we'll try it this way.
Perfect. But you'll end up having to clone that. So I'd copy.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Cloning is easy. I can. It's the beauty of it. One of the things that was driving me crazy about the spreadsheets was that they're so hard to edit on the fly like this. So, all right, we're getting some votes on our new scale. One person saying possible, a couple people saying, well, more than possible, predicted. So weigh in with your opinions. And
so this is Jim Galvin. I think predicted for me, you know, has a connotation of expectation, which is different than possible. And so I'm the one vote on the possible side, not the predicted side.
and that's perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping people would do, is if they
Never
see themselves as an outlier, explaining why. And
yeah. I mean, I suppose I could go for predicted if we really want to. I'd be interested in hearing what other people think of in their sense of what the words mean and where they want to go. I mean, it certainly is not anticipated in my view, but I look at major zones and I think that, you know, those are people with major resources, if you will, and so they're supposed to have a lot of stuff in place to prevent this kind of thing, you know, this particular kind of threat. Specifically, I mean, accidents can certainly happen. There have been a few examples of those, which is why it's possible. But I wouldn't say it's predicted just for that reason. It's not the kind of thing that happens because you don't expect these people to have that kind of problem.
Cheryl here, for the record. Jim, your rationale is exactly why I leave it as predicted and head away from anything like an anticipated. So using almost the same rationale, we're just sitting at different risk levels, I guess, likelihood levels. And that's okay. That's good.
Well, and I think that what this will do is this will send us a clue later on in the analysis that says we are probably going to put this one fairly down a list because of this likelihood thing. And we can certainly come back and do a rationale as to why.
But a low likelihood, Cheryl, again for the record, a low likelihood and a somewhat more extensive, if not bordering on devastating, outcome still needs to be figured in, and this is the way you do that, seeing the difference
right
between the outcome to the risk or threat and the likelihood.
Right. Okay, last chance. I'm going to go ahead and record what we've got to say at this point. And move on to who. Because this was actually Bart's contribution on the leadership call on Monday, which was, well, you also had to tell us who. And I got this. This is a list from the very recently published Internet Ecosystem paper that I think ISOC just came out with. I'm not sure. And I just realized that I don't have a scale. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Arg. Okay, I need to create a new poll. So there will be a short pause while I do that.
Yeah, you see, I'd have gone the other way. I would have just lumped businesses and organizations together or individuals and businesses together and thought, you know, there you go.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. That makes it a lot easier. Okay, we'll go back to this one.
Because business and organization, we're not looking at scale. It could be a micro business or, you know.
Right.
Multinational, multi-global NGO and a bank, I'd stick in, you know, pretty much the same risk level or the WHO levels,
yeah.
You know. There we go.
Okay, so now we're down to six. So for the next meeting, I promise I will have a scale that actually reads this way on the poll. For now, I'm going to trust that all of you can map into this. So 10, oh, but this poll also doesn't, this poll is terrible because this also doesn't allow multiple choice. I need a new poll. Okay, I tell you what, I don't want to waste time.
Multiple, yes, of course, you would have to.
Yeah, because you can only vote for one thing. So this is terrible. All right, so we're not going to do this today. We'll come back to this one. Let's just do it on the call. On a major zone file, going away because of a misconfiguration, is there anybody on this list that is not impacted? You know, my sense is that this particular one, everybody's impacted. And so to finesse this for today, let's just do that. Is there anybody that disagrees with that approach?
So not impacted means vote zero?
No, just tell me on the call, because the poll is in Minnesota terminology, horked up. There's no way that you can actually vote on this particular issue with the poll, because it's a single thing.
Are
so if you want, go ahead.
Are we concerned with fragments of the DNS alternate routes? In other words,
We are, but not on this particular conversation. That one's going to show up in a different threat source.
Right, because if COM is down and I, a user, never have an experience with COM, it doesn't matter to me.
Right, right.
So it is not as widespread or ubiquitous as we might think, because there are pockets where users would not be affected.
Yes, that's true. But I think on this particular one, we're not describing the pockets that aren't affected. We're asking the question whether any or all of these would be affected by a major zone file going away. And my sense is that they would.
If they're consumers of the TLD in question.
Yes, and these are major. These are major zones rather than lesser zones, which is coming up in our conversation.
Right. So this is Jim Galvin. And I think the key phrase in what he just said there was, you know, pockets of non-impact. And I think that, which we'll get to here in a moment, is the distinction between major zones versus lesser zones. I mean, it's a major zone because it is expected to be touched by the majority, you know, pretty close to, a very large majority, let me just say that, of the user community for any definition of user. But there'll always be pockets that are not. And I think that's the difference between major and lesser, is those pockets, how big they are or how small they are. And in a major zone, they're smaller. In a lesser zone, they're larger. That's my thought anyway.
Good one. I'll capture it.
Right, and I think that's the point that I was trying to make, is that it's not Boolean. It's not that everybody is affected or not.
Right, yeah.
It is more heuristic.
That's a good thought. Let me capture that, too. Olivier, go ahead. Sorry, just came back to the chat room.
Thank you, Mikey, Olivier, for the transcript record. We're looking at the impacts, who is impacted, and I just wonder about one particular thing, which is actually related to our actual mandate. There is a certain issue of perception that is involved in this. And certainly one thing which we are looking at is to, I guess, correct a certain perception, maybe, or find real facts behind perceptions to find out if really the DNS is in trouble or not. And so the idea of perception on this thing, it might be a major zone, a minor zone, it might be a huge new GTLD zone, or it might be a very small one. Whatever happens, if one actually fails, if there is a failure there, no matter how many individuals will be affected, it will still make headlines, and at least in the early days. So the perception of it is equally as bad, whether it is a small or large zone, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. And I think that that kind of gets back to the range of impact issue as well, which is that this would clearly be a pretty big black eye, in addition to the technical impact. There would, you know, and so then the question becomes, do we need another category at this level, which is nature of impact? And then put the perception thing in there, but also I don't know. The trouble with this is that the tree gets so branchy. I worry about that. Any thoughts on that one? What we do with Olivier's point? Maybe we'll leave that as an action item to figure out. Because it may be that there's a place in the methodology, which I still don't know well enough.
Mikey, it's Olivier. May I?
Sure, go ahead.
Just thank you, Olivier, again, for the transcript. I actually mentioned this not to make the tree larger, but to try and simplify it somehow. Because I see here that we are looking at the range of impact and how much impact would it have, and trying to classify it in this way. And I'm thinking, well, for any failure, yes, the technical impact might be quantifiable, but the qualitative impact, the perception impact, is probably due to the fact that there is so much publicity going up around it. Probably going to be pretty high in any case. So I wondered whether we needed to actually go through such detail to look at the exact range of impact or extent of impact.
I think we need to do that in order to pick the ones that we ultimately are going to come back to the community and say we're quite concerned about. We may come back with some of these and say, I don't think this is such a big deal. Oh, by the way, if somebody is listening on their speakers and has their phone unmuted, that's why we're getting a little bit of echo right now. I can hear every word coming back in my ear. That's the difficulty. Jorg, go ahead. Sometimes it takes Jorg a minute to get off mute.
Okay, so you should be hearing me now.
Yeah.
So Jorg for the transcript. I'm a little bit worried about the direction we are currently heading towards. I think we are concerned with technical impact. At least this is the scoping we have been tasked with. And I find it very difficult to include something like perception. I do realize that perception may be a point, but we're just not concerned with perception. And for sure, perception would be very, very different depending on whom you really ask. If I would be involved in a configuration error that would virtually take off my my zone from the net, I would be really, really, really concerned. Whereas, if you would ask me if, let's say, FX, for example, because it's just new and came to my mind, if there would be a configuration error in the FX zone and FX would be gone for 2 hours from the net, my perception is, I don't care. Sorry about that. But I think that makes clear that perception very much depends on the perspective you're currently in. And I doubt that we would ever get a anonymous vote for perception.
Let me take an action on this one to figure out what to do with this. It's a good puzzle. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mike. It's Scott Algier. So we kind of grappled with this a little bit as well when we did our risk assessment, and we kind of put it under the looked at this perception and also in the context of public confidence, right? Does the public lose confidence in the infrastructure, and does the government or do governments also likewise lose confidence? And you know, even we grappled with this concept that, you know, even though it may not be a big issue to our company or it may not be a big technical issue to the infrastructure itself, if it's perceived as a big problem, if it could undermine confidence in both the infrastructure itself, it could undermine confidence in the companies who operate that infrastructure in the minds of the public.
Thanks, Scott. That's exactly why I was so glad to have you on in our gang. Anybody else want to Olivia, is that a new hand or an old hand?
It's a new hand, Mikey.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's Olivia for the transcript. Actually, just following up on what Scott has said, loss of confidence, indeed, the reason why we're here is a perceived loss of confidence. So in a way, I think that as long as we mention that perception-wise, many of these things that we're evaluating might be seen by the public as being or perceived as being particularly important, and journalists, etc., the press and all this, we will be looking specifically at the technical stuff. Hearing what Jörg has said earlier, I do agree with that as well.
Okay, so what we could do is, maybe what we can do is sorry for the screw up and the cursing. Is in a way this issue applies to almost every single thing that we're going to discuss.
That's correct.
And so rather than evaluate it at every branch in the tree. How about that? What if we put it in the introduction to what we're talking about, so that we can acknowledge that while we, we focused on technical issues, that there's also a very likely loss of confidence if any of this major infrastructure fails, and finesse it like that. Olivier is typing. Yeah, I know you didn't.
I was basically saying the same thing as you just now, Mikey. Thanks.
Yeah. Olivier. Yeah. Oh, let me just steal that out of the notes. Okay, so I think that we've gotten through one of these today. I was hoping to get through more, but let's try another one. Just to see how it works. So let's do, instead of a major zone file, let's do a lesser zone file. Same deal. Range of impact is our first poll. Oh, Jörg, I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at the... screen. Go ahead. You may still be muted.
Okay. Got it now.
There we go. There you go. Now I can hear you.
For the transcript. So if we do acknowledge that we think that we have a let's say political impact or an impact of trust in the infrastructure or in the parties involved running the infrastructure, what comes to my mind is, what are we doing with that? So we can clearly acknowledge that the perception is a thing we do have to look at, but are we about to do anything against a misperception or a perception that is not in favor of the operations we are currently conducting? So is there any technical reaction to that?
There's a whole section of the methodology that's coming that's going to talk about mitigation, and I think that that's the place where that fits, is that when we get to the threats that we're very concerned about, especially, we'll focus on mitigation that's already in place, controls, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think there's a pretty broad opportunity to document what people are doing both today and maybe even should be doing more of tomorrow that's coming up. But I think what the methodology is trying to do is break some of this into smaller bites, because if we try and go all the way through the whole analysis of a single branch of a threat tree, we sort of get lost in the weeds. And so I think that one I'd like to lobby, we just wait. And I think when we get to the mitigation part of this discussion, we'll be able to document that. Is that okay with you, Jörg?
Thinking about it, I'll probably rephrase it later on. So it's okay for now. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, and Olivier said in the chat, mitigation plays a large part in improving perception, so that's sort of a related point. Okay, let's see if we can do one a little bit faster. Let's do our lesser zone file, range of impact conversation. Go ahead and just bang your thoughts into the poll. sort of get what people's reactions are, have a quick conversation to tune those reactions, and then move on. So a lesser zone file is like the one that Jorg was talking about, a small zone, either a small CC or a small GTLD. Goes down due to a misconfiguration by a privileged user. And again, we're sort of clustering in the minimal to limited. Anybody want to argue one way or the other on that one? John Levine says, if dot travel went away, would anybody notice other than me? Probably not. That's a good example of a lesser zone file. I'm sorry. To all of you dot travel people who are listening to this recording, I apologize. But funny. Okay, I think I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to just document it that, you know, most of us are thinking that it's limited. I'll record the 7 folks that feel that way, and a couple people feel that it's truly minimal. And again, now what I'm going to do is steal our likelihood range. Oop, not that way. Take away the relevance one. And let's talk likelihood for this one. Oh, I got a bunch of editing to do. Let me clear the poll so that you can... While I'm tinkering, you can go ahead and fix this. So again, lesser zone file. What's the likelihood that this is going to happen? And we're getting pretty strong divergence, so folks should be prepared to argue one way or the other. Again, this is one that I would personally expect to be more likely, just because some of these organizations are quite small, not terribly well-resourced, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd be interested in hearing the arguments for why even a lesser zone file is quite unlikely. Does anybody want to come in on that? Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. I'll just reiterate what you just said. It's Olivier for the transcript. Smaller zone file, smaller amounts of resources, fly-by-night cowboys, more likely to fail. Okay, maybe not that slapstick, but it seems to be that everyone's mental linkages in the head generally would make us think a smaller operation is more likely to have technical problems. And it's not always the case. In fact, smaller operations are sometimes a lot more careful about how they run their things. So it's a tough one. Thank you.
I don't think it's an issue of care. I think it's an issue of resources primarily. One of the things that I would expect to see in a really large zone file is more programmers, more analysts, more time available to develop technical controls around this.
So it's Jim. I think,
Jim,
Mikey,
ahead.
What you're suggesting is more automation.
Yes,
I think that, larger automation. Larger operations tend towards greater automation, and thus, once you get it right, it tends to stay right. Or at least you have different kinds of failures that can happen. I mean, your automation can always fail, too. But I see that as a distinction between smaller and major zones also.
Yeah, right. John, go ahead.
Yeah,
I think this is actually two questions. I mean, a lot of small zones outsource the actual operation. I mean, so dot travel, I believe, is just as reliable as dot com because it's run by VeriSign. And I think
you're more likely
to see problems in, you know, a small country that doesn't have a lot of expertise, but cobbled together a bunch of name servers run by their friends.
Right. And maybe our definition needs to change. So that we say a lesser zone file that is not outsourced
it's not
to a major
the zone file. It's the size of the operator.
Yeah.
So, and we can have discussions somewhere else about, you know, like .museum, which is a tiny operator, but Kerry is very competent. But
right.
There aren't very many of those.
What if we did that modification to our thread event? What does that do to the voting? So now we're eliminating we're essentially narrowing this use case to only those where there are less likely to be tremendous resources. We've still got pretty good dispersion. I'm not going to beat this to death, but I would like to hear from some of the three folks on that.
So this is Jim. I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
So for those who are voting 8, maybe this, again, is just some wordsmithing that's important here, but we should presume that the comma phrase there is not present, right? So the range of impact, the extensive is, again, I guess it depends on what the user community is. I think what's funny even about lesser zone files is the range of impact is significant and sweeping for those who are a part of that zone. So pick a small country, right? That country goes down and you have a problem with that zone file. That country actually cares a great deal. And it's a huge and major crisis problem for them. For the rest of the globe, it's probably insignificant.
Right.
And I think that's an important distinction to make in this range of impact. You know, previously when we were talking about major zones, it was sort of easier to suggest that the impact would be extensive because it was also pretty clear that it mattered to everybody, whether you were in the zone or not. When we're talking about smaller zones, I think there's greater importance or significance that goes with being in the zone or not being in it as to what the impact really is. Are we judging the impact based on the global effect or judging the impact based on the user community of the zone? That's my question.
That's a good question. And it's sort of the reverse of the discussion we had on the first one, which is that in this case, you know, it's basically the opposite of this. I think. Does that capture the thought that you're coming at us with there, Jim?
Yes, I think that's at least enough to...
At least enough for a reminder.
Right, enough of a reminder. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah,
let me start capturing while you talk.
Yeah, let me comment on what Jim just said. I think this, once again, is the question of perception. And I think it's very clear what we are concerned with we are concerned with the DNS. And even though it might be very true for the citizens of a small country that if their zone file would be affected, they really do care, but nevertheless, this wouldn't have an impact on the DNS as we phrased it. So as to this, I would doubt that we would be, as this working group, be concerned with that problem.
I think that's also a fair statement. Jim, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, Jim, Galvin here. So, Jorg, it sounds like you're suggesting that you're questioning the people who are voting 8 and 10 on the impact of this kind of problem, because it sounds like you're trying to get us to focus on evaluating this in the context of the global DNS. And I think I agree with that. But at this point, it's important to hear from others here, or those who are voting 8, as to why they want to vote that way.
Yeah, they're not, Jim, just to clarify, they're not voting on the range of impact. They're voting on the likelihood. When we talked about the range, we tended to agree that this is a fairly limited impact, except for the caveat that you brought up, but that it's pretty likely. It's much more likely that this is going to happen for the resource issue. So the 8s and 10s aren't about the range of impact. They're about the likelihood of the impact. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I apologize. Then I was just a little out of context there. But
well, okay. This is, we're all learning how this works, so I can sign
Sorry.
Up for confusing the hell out of people. Sorry about that. Jorg, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Scott? I think it was Scott.
This is Forrest.
Forrest, go ahead. People who don't raise their hand confuse your co-chair.
There we go. Okay. Apologize, I'll use that in the future.
Yeah, no worries.
As a segue into to range of impact, we might define the space as all users of the Internet, rather than defining them as users that are within the impact space. Because users in the impact space are pretty much the Boolean, you are affected or not.
Right, right.
Okay. But if we broaden the space to all Internet users globally, then we can have more of a meaningful discussion of the range of impact and actually compare it to, if we look at .com, TLD root servers going down, and we can say .com traffic represents X percentage of global traffic versus some random .xy small TLD root servers has a very small relative percentage of global traffic, we can have a meaningful comparison. But if you're only looking at the space of impact, then, of course, it's 100%.
Right, and I think that's the caveat that we just put in. I'm going to cut you off, Forrest, not because I don't like you, but because we have indeed run over the top of the hour, and I need to draw the meeting to a close. And so for those of you who have to go and have a wonderful holiday season. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. For those of you who can hang on for just a minute, I'd like some feedback on whether this process is better or worse than the one I did last week. Any final thoughts? Am I taking this in the right direction? Anything that people can think of to make this work better for us? Terrell is saying, getting there. That's good. I like that. I will, once again, listen to the recording and try and make it better yet. Have a great holiday, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. No meeting next week. So, talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mikey. Bye-bye. Thank you, Timmy. May you stop the recordings now. Thank you.